Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we see a simple yet important message about what we as Christians need to do while we wait for Christ's return. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19.
Give Jesus your today. Stay in the day. Follow Jesus today. Tomorrow might not even come. Stay in the day. Continue. Amen. Continue. He says this thirdly and finally. It's not just an upward thing of faith. It's not just an inward thing of hope, but it's also an others-minded thing of love. And the greatest of these is love. This seems so Pauline to me. Let us consider, he says, right now, today, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He says, we've got to continue to do this. Here's the very obvious, easy reason why. Because love and good works aren't what naturally flow from us. If they were, if these were things that just naturally flowed from us as fallen humans, the writer wouldn't say it's necessary for brothers and sisters in Christ to provoke each other unto these things. And the word provoke is an interesting word. It's very aggressive in the Greek. The English jargon is let's irritate each other. Oh, I'm so thankful it's scriptural this morning. I love to irritate and instigate. Let's irritate each other. Listen, the English jargon of this Greek aggressive word is let's bug each other. Let's bug each other unto love and unto good works, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. This is what we are called to do. Listen to me, please. We are each other's brothers and sisters' keepers. There is an aspect to our salvation. It's a reminder to us today. You've not just been saved personally so that, you know, when you die, you go to heaven. That is a big part of it. It is the major part of it. But you've also been saved to help others along the way. To text them on Saturdays, on Saturday evenings, on Sunday mornings, to call them. To constantly stay on them. Listen, there are those of you that are here today that have been invited to come, and the person that invited you to come stopped coming. Some of you are saved because so-and-so that once brought you here or introduced you to Christ, and they're back at the bar. They're back in the world. They've walked away from Jesus, at least for now. You are called. You are called to continuously irritate and bug those people in the most sanctified, loving way, of course. To bring them back to a place where love and good works are flowing from their lives. This is a license for you, but it's also a duty to you. God is saying, don't give up on each other. There are no lone rangers in God's economy. The angels and the hosts of heaven have each other. Jesus is part of a trinity, the Father, the Spirit, the Son. You don't even see him once operate alone until he's on the cross and the wrath of God is poured out. Up to that point, even in Gethsemane, he's crying out to the Father for help as he's sweating great drops of blood. This is interdependent, not independent. We are all links in the same chain. A link outside of the chain that it's a part of is of no use. It's only as we stay together as the body of Christ that we are receiving the fullness of God's blessing and we are being the fullness of God's blessing to one another. And I understand there's all sorts of knocks against the body of Christ. I've had people tell me everything. I've had people tell me it's not the body, it's not Jesus that I have a problem with, it's his people. I love God, I slip in during worship, I sit there for the teaching and I slip out during the closing song because I really can't stand Christians. I like dogs better than I like Christians or people. And I've heard these things, and I've heard them in a much more profane measure, but out of respect for the Lord, I'll keep it there. And Jesus says, this is the greatest institution on this side of eternity except for marriage. Right after marriage, it's the family of God. And he says, do not give up on each other. It is not your job to say, well, that person's apostatized. How do you know who's apostatized, by the way? Because I hear that jargon and lingo thrown around too in the church. Oh, that person, he's apostate. How do you know? Only God knows that, because when the person dies, he knows the heart condition and he knows the commitment that was there or not there to begin with anyways. We are not the judge. We are not the jury. We are to be fighting for each other. We are not to give up on one another. We are nobody to be exasperated and say, I just can't deal with them again. Who are you to say that? We are not to give up on one another. We're to continue to provoke one another, irritate one another, instigate one another. You know, these messages, I've been off of a lot of social media for a long time because the church is so upsetting to me that the way that the church represents Jesus, but there's so much like just beating people over the head with the scripture and just all sorts of just family talk, we're family, that's being aired out for the world to see, and it makes mockery of him. How about instead of using your social media platform to trash people and pastors and churches and the American church today, to encourage people, to provoke people, to stir people to love and to good work, to tell them about your church. Listen, if this is your church, tell them about your church. What is your church like? It's a place where anybody can come. It's a place where you don't have to believe to belong. It's a place where you can come in and say, I'm actually an atheist, a Buddhist, I'm this and I'm that, and I'm curious. If you're curious and you're not going to be disruptive, you are more than welcome to join us so that when you get saved, because I believe you will get saved because he's that good, it will be authentic and real. It won't be because somebody forced you and said, come on, let's go down to the altar call. Get down here right now. You know what I mean? That's nonsense. It will be because you want it to be. You can come backslidden. You can come spiritual. Because what we're going to do every single time that we gather is we're going to be like John the Bee. We're going to point people to Jesus. We're going to elevate him in worship. We're going to elevate him in the word. We're going to elevate him in our demonstration of his love, because it's by his love that the world will know that we are his followers. Amen? Whoever's beating their Bible, I like it because I feel like I'm in a football game. And it's like just homecoming and someone's excited and just stirred, and these are things that we are called to do. It's an assembly. It's not a gathering that he's calling us not to forsake. It's an assembly. If you got a bunch of material that's been gathered together, that's a lot different than things that have been assembled together. It's the only other time that the word assemble is used. Twice in all of the New Testament. It's used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 by Paul, and it's used here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's used in reference to the gathering and the assembling the body of Christ will have with Jesus in glory. The other time that it's used is right here, talking about the bride of Christ on earth assembling. Two assemblies, on earth and in heaven. This one is preparation. This is what one is practice for what is to come. Don't forsake it. You're not greater than it. You're not too smart for it. You've not arrived. Listen to me, whatever you come up with this morning, because I hear it all. Listen to me, please. The Bible is here to rebuke that type of thought, to lambaste it, and tell you this. There's never justification to ostracize yourself from the people of God. A church at home, church online, unless there's a medical condition or a geographical reason, is never, never to take place of this. This is beautiful. This is majestic. And we are not to forsake it, especially as we see the day of the Lord approaching. And my goodness, listen, you've got to be spiritually blind if you can't see that Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon. He said this 2,000 years ago, but 1,000 years is a day, so it's only been a couple of days. But we are so close to his return. And as we get closer, and every day we live, we're getting closer, all the more we're to be gathered together in a public setting, in a public forum. Don't do what others are doing, he said, and that is giving up on the church. Don't do it. Let us, in the present tense, be a part of a local body of Christ, not a podcast subscription of your favorite teacher, not a TBN, here's a replay of the live working of God's Spirit in the local church. And there will always be that till Christ calls us home, because he's faithful to his word. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's established. Till he lifts the restrainer, till he lifts us for his next purposes. So in my closing this morning, I'm going to give you my personal reasons. And some of them I've already touched. I tried not to, but I did, and I'll hit them again quickly. As to why I think that you, according to Scripture, need to be in fellowship with believers. This is such a strong, powerful portion of the things that God says about these truths in His Word. Number one, His presence. His presence is experienced in a setting like this, a public forum, a public service of worship to the Lord. His presence is experienced in this manner in a way that is unique to any other manner. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. Amen? Two or three are gathered. A lot more than that. His presence is thick in this place. I shared with my board on Monday evening, Psalm 133. Jesus talks about there by the Holy Spirit the beauty of the unity of the body of Christ. And it says that he there in the unity of his body commands a blessing forevermore. There's a blessing of his presence in the midst of his people. Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3. What is Jesus found doing in the seven letters to the seven churches, which represents the complete age? Walking in the midst of them. Even though there was rebuke, even though there was imperfection, even though for the most of those churches there was condemnation rather than commendation, nonetheless, he still is walking in the midst of them. He has not yet removed their candlestick, his presence. Jesus' presence is in the church. As twisted, as maybe polluted by the world, whatever else you can come up with and say with a negative adjective, Jesus' presence is in the church. Lo, I am with you always, even to the consummation, Matthew 28, of the age. He's in our midst. His presence is powerful when we gather together. This is the reason that we gather corporately. Number two, his praise. If you sat through Daniel and the team's praise service and were not moved, you should check your pulse. Good grace begins, and I can't even wait to get in here and listen to me. I listen to it in my truck. I listen to it in my home. I listen to my office. And as skillful and wonderful as the original writers are in singing that song, it is not the same in its effect upon my life or yours, if you're being honest, as when I come in here and it's going forth live and I'm with God's people singing praise. You want to know how I know? He inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Can you sing in the shower? Can you sing in the truck? Can you sing at home? Can you put it on? Yes, and you should. Absolutely. But something is different about God's people gathering together in God's house and being skillfully and spiritually led by a bunch of people that love Jesus in his worship, his praise. You can't feel it live streaming. You can't get what we get by being here. Listen, I'm so thankful. We got people from Switzerland, the Middle East. We got people from Europe that write in that are listening. Praise God. That's an obvious reason why they can't come. We got people with cancer that are sick. They can't, you know, their treatments are messing their bodies up. We got elderly folks. We got people in the hospital. They can't come. I'm so thankful that we could broadcast this live and then have archives of it for down the road. I got some of the young teachers in the church text messaging me pictures of my old sermons because they're going through the books that I once taught. That was my vision for why I put those up there. Praise God. That is not to replace this. Get out of bed and get to church. People say, man, that's my one day to sleep in. We got an 11 o'clock. It's noon right now. We got a Wednesday evening Bible study, which is my favorite service of the week, at 7 o'clock. We got addictions ministry, we got children's ministry, we got youth ministry, we got junior high ministry. There are so many opportunities for you to come and be with him. His presence, his praise, his people, number three. Listen, I watch you guys walk in, not in a weird, creepy way. And I watch you guys walk out, sometimes in the foyer, sometimes from other places. And I'm telling you the truth, and this is only because of the Holy Spirit, I'm not this way in the natural. I love your faces, I love your families, I love your presence, I love your love for Jesus. God's people are beautiful. And to be with the people of God, there is no replacing that. And I got all sorts of benefits of that. I got my nieces, my nephews, disrupting worship service, my kids, flying in and out of my door. They're here all morning. My wife's sister and her family, sister-in-laws, my brother-in-law, my sister, my parents. I got all my family. And it's so wonderful to gather together in God's house. And I see them outside of it, but here to be with them, filling rows. That should be your prayer for your family. There's nothing like it. But then we got the extended family. I didn't even know that this week, today, is Pastor Appreciation Day till one of our website guys posted it and I started getting tagged. I didn't even know. But some of you are so amazingly kind and generous, I'm getting cards. I had one girl write me a letter and say, "Pastor Dave, I love you so much and I'm so thankful for you. But," and whenever that comes, you know. And she says, "I've noticed you're growing your hair out. I'm a hairdresser. So here's some anti-frizz. Here it is. So here's some anti-frizz. I tried it this morning, a dime size. Here we go." And just, you know, that's the body of Christ. Anti-frizz product for their past, you know, these notes. Somebody dies or somebody gets sick, it's the body of Christ. These are amazing. Some of you are not so kind and amazing with your words and your actions. God will deal with that. Your motives are ulterior and it's sick. But those of you who are here today and you're sincere, man, you are beautiful people. You guys are like unbelievable. Pastor Appreciation, it's congregation appreciation for me. You guys are an amazing congregation of the body of Christ. And the people of God, listen, there's going to be fallouts. There's going to be contention. It's family. Thick skin, soft hearts. This is the people of God. Beautiful. You won't see it that way, though, unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll critique. "Oh, I can't believe he's back. He smells like smoke. Look at her over there. She looks like she gained weight. What is she even wearing to church? She just wants everybody to see her. Look how she praises." If that's your spirit, you're critical, and that's not Jesus Christ. You're looking around the room, and you're thinking, "Man, he's back. She's raising her hands." Some of you come up, and you're mad because people say amen, and they clap. At least they're saying amen, and they clap. Why aren't you thankful they're excited about Jesus? You wouldn't be mad if you were at a Buffalo Bills game and they were doing that. Something's wrong. Michael criticized David when he was dancing to the Lord. Her issue was way more than his dancing. It was his heart for his God. You got a problem with someone's heart with their God if you're sitting around during that beautiful opportunity to worship God and you're critiquing, "Oh, Daniel, he always plays upbeat songs. It's my fault. Oh, it's too loud." Put earbuds in. Stop criticizing. You know how much work this is that these guys do? Our sound people, they're not professional. They just do their best as unto the glory of God. Thank you guys for doing the sound. They get criticized. People come up to them and criticize them. They're working their tails off. Jared is studying, you know, what is it even called? Like how the volume controls. And he's on it. He's on it. Working with local sound professionals. "I can't believe he's got a nose ring. I can't believe." Who cares? Man looks at the outward. God looks at the heart. Jesus is coming. We don't got time for this. Man, we don't got time for this. His presence, his praise, his people. How about this one? His principle. We got two more. His principle. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says, "And I pray, brothers, that you'd be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, as you gather together with the saints concerning his love." It's his principle. I'm telling you something, that you get a revelation, an illumination, a manifestation of the truth of God concerning his love that you only get when you're with his people. You can't refute that. You, whoever you are that want to have a home Bible study, and all you really are is seeking to cause anarchy against the local organized church. Let's get together and sip wine and critique Sunday sermon. The Holy Spirit says there is a height, depth, breadth, width, manifestation, illumination of the love of God, the truth of God, that is only going to come to fruition when God's people gather together as all the saints. And fifthly and finally this morning, it's his prescription. Period. Simply this, he said that we are to do these things till he calls us home. Present tense, never an end to it. So just obey what he says. That's like a really easy one, isn't it? We just are called to, he is God, right? Here's some really good theological truth. There is a God and you are not him. He said, this is what we are to do. Let love cover a multitude of sins and enjoy the resource of the bride of Christ that he has given to us. Just obey what he says to do because he's called you to do it, which means we need it. No Lone Rangers. This church, as Daniel and the team come, we are a church, if you're wondering, if you're visiting, if you're here for the dedications this morning, if you're new, if you're inquiring, this is a church. I can't speak for even the other Calvary Chapels, honest. I could only speak of Calvary Chapel of the West Side. This is a church, as I've already said, where you do not have to believe to belong. This is a church where you can come in as long as you're respectful and not disruptive. And you are welcomed here to take your seat to find out what the scriptures say about Jesus. This is a church, so long as I'm around, by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit, this is a church where whether I'm here or somebody else is in my stead, the word of God is going to go forth, which is much integrity and tried and trueness as possible, humanly speaking. This is a church where Jesus is going to be exalted. Hymns will be thrown in the mix, old school worship songs, new school worship songs, as long as not the writers of those songs are amazing, but the lyrics of those songs are Christ-centered and glorifying. This is a church where we will take communion as the Holy Spirit leads to the text. This is a church where we do not care what you wear as long as you're wearing something. This is a church where as long as you're not seeking to draw attention, you are welcome to worship Jesus standing, sitting, kneeling, clapping. This is a church where you could have any type of earring, nose ring, hair colored, whatever. It doesn't matter because man looks at the outward, God looks at the heart. This is a church for the addict. This is a church for the recovered. This is a church for the sick and the weary. This is a church for the healthy and the strong. This is a church for the black, and this is a church for the white. This is a church for every single person that wants to know the living God. And until Jesus Christ calls us home, this is what we're doing. This is what we're about. We're going to continue these things. We're going to draw near to God. We're going to hold on to the profession. We're going to continue. And we're going to watch each other's back out of love. And we're going to stay on each other when we go miss him for a while. We're going to stay on each other. We're going to call each other. We're going to text each other. And we're going to poke, poke, poke. We're going to provoke, provoke, provoke all the way till Jesus calls us home. Here's why. Because you who are spiritual, be careful lest you yourself be overtaken by a fault that you were throwing somebody else stones at because they once were. You might be calling somebody today, but next week they might be calling you. Here's the bottom line. We all need somebody to lean on. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.